Let me read to you from 1 Corinthians chapter 11. As we come around a table and as we share together, and you guys in a moment are going to be sharing together, you might want to nominate someone around your table, because on your table is a small piece of paper, a piece of A5, which has a basic sort of liturgy for communion. It has an opening invitation to the table, and then it has a sentence for sharing the bread and a sentence for sharing the wine, and then at the end of communion it has a little statement that can be read out to remind us of what we're proclaiming and what we're celebrating. So nominate someone round your table. Make it not the usual suspects. You know who you are. So nominate someone who might not ordinarily do it, and so long as they're happy, of course, and just for that person to lead you through communion in a moment as you share together. Let me start by reading you and reminding you of what we're doing this morning as we celebrate communion. 1 Corinthians 11, Paul writes to the church in Corinth, who were having an interesting time. If you know about Corinth, if you know about communion, it was often celebrated as part of a meal, an actual fellowship meal. And they were having some interesting moments. And he reminds them of what it was really all about and why they were gathering. 1 Corinthians 11, 23 says this: "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord himself, that on the night when he was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took bread. He gave thanks to God for it. And then he broke it in pieces and he said, 'This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' And in the same way, he took the cup of wine after supper, saying, 'This cup is a new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood. Do this to remember me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you're announcing the Lord's death, but only until he comes again.'" Something to look forward to. Let me remind you why we're doing this. Some church traditions have many, many what are called sacraments, these things that they believe Jesus has handed down to us that we are to do repeatedly and to put a first priority. But in Baptist churches, we only have two. Anybody want to tell me what they are? It's really easy because you've got one in front of you. What's the other one? Baptism. Yeah. And in Baptist churches, we have two sacraments, two things that we believe Jesus says you are to do, folks. You are to come together and do. This is important. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. The sacrament we celebrate today is the Lord's Supper. And while baptism is a one-off thing, communion, the Lord's Supper, is an ongoing practice. And it's all about remembering, isn't it? It's really all about remembering. And when you get to my age, that's helpful. Some of you will know it's very helpful. Remembering is also a powerful thing, though, isn't it? Remembering really is powerful. You know that. You've remembered some things in your life and been moved to tears, probably, as you've remembered. When you love someone who's not with you physically, remembering is one of the most powerful things you can ever do. It really is. Some of you have experienced that. And some of you maybe have a face in your mind as I talk about that, and a name on your lips as I talk about that. Remembering is one of the most powerful things you can do. And just before he went to the cross, just before he gave himself for us, Jesus gathers his closest friends in a room. And after dinner, he takes a piece of bread and he breaks it. And he says, "This is my body, which is for you. Whenever you do this, I want you to remember me." He said, "You'll remember our lives together." They'd spent 3 years in each other's pockets, waking up together, doing ministry together, laughing together, crying together, scared together, courageous together. They'd done 3 years of that together. And they would remember the joy and the sorrows and the failures and the miracles. They'd remember all that. "I want you to remember me," he said. And when you take this bread, mostly, I suspect, he wants us to remember his body. He wants us to remember what is about to happen. He says to his disciples, I want you to remember my head crowned with thorns. My hands nailed to a Roman cross. I want you to remember my side pierced with a spear. My body broken for you. I want you to remember, says Jesus, how much I love you. Remembering someone loves you matters and makes a difference in your life. And then he took a cup of wine, as you know, and he said, this is a new expression of a promise for love, for the love and faithfulness of God, a new expression of that promise. It's a new covenant, and it's poured and sealed in the most permanent way in my blood. Jesus said to his friends then, and he still says to his friends today, I want you to remember, don't forget. Tell others of my followers to do the same. Remember how I loved you. Don't ever forget. And for over 2,000 years now, Jesus' followers have been doing exactly that. In every language, and in every culture, and in every setting, and in lots of different styles and ways, God's people have been remembering Jesus for 2,000 years. And I can imagine Jesus' disciples saying to Jesus on that night, oh, you want us to remember you? How? Jesus, do you really think we could forget you? Do you really think we could forget you? But if you're anything like me, we all have memory problems, don't we? We all forget. I sometimes forget that I'm forgiven. Don't know about you, but do you ever forget that you're forgiven? I get weighed down by guilt. Sometimes I feel crushed by it. And when I forget that, I need to come back to this table. And I need to remember his body broken, his blood shed, that I am completely and absolutely forgiven. Sometimes I forget to be a servant. I don't know if you ever forget that. I get caught up in wanting to have my own way. I get caught out in wanting to be right about everything. I get caught up in wanting others to serve me instead of me serving them. And then when that happens, I need to come back to this table and remember to follow the one who served, to follow the one who got on his knees and washed their feet. I come back to this table and remember the one who suffered and died to serve me and to be like him. Sometimes I forget I'm part of a family. Sometimes I forget that. Sometimes I feel alone. Sometimes you might feel alone. I forget that I'm part of a family with so many of you who are literally my brothers and my sisters. Sometimes I forget that. And I feel as if I'm on my own. When that happens, I have to come back to this table. And I have to remember, as I gather with other believers, that I am not on my own. And when it's done right, remembering is one of the most powerful things you can do. And it's not just an intellectual exercise. It's not just about remembering information or a history book or something like that. And if you go to many war graves over in France or Belgium or Holland, you'll find people wandering around, and you'll find people who, some of whom may have travelled thousands of miles. Do you know where they've done that? They've gone and they've travelled and they've taken time out just to remember. Remembering is a powerful thing, and it's a drive within us sometimes. We need to remember. You'll find people scouring huge lists of names or gravestones and finding their relatives, a name, and just to stand. And sometimes you see them just standing and pausing for hours on end just to remember. It's something in the human heart that longs to remember. It's why we build monuments. It's why we have memorials. It's why they exist. It's why parents take videos and they fill endless books with snapshots. It's why students get class photos and yearbooks and t-shirts with everybody's name scribbled across it. It's why we do these sort of things. And if you do it right, when you remember, here's what happens. What once was real becomes very real to you again. Your heart is changed. What once was real can become real again. A bit like the husband who maybe gathers with his friends to celebrate his 65th wedding anniversary. Some of you might have done that. Who gathers with his friends to celebrate his 65th wedding anniversary. And as the memories flow and as the tributes are given, as the conversation happens, he suddenly no longer sees the elderly, slightly wrinkly, somewhat shorter, elderly lady at his side. Instead, maybe he sees for a moment that beautiful, slender, graceful, raven-haired beauty, that girl of his dreams from years ago. When we remember properly, what once was real becomes real again. And then maybe someone plays their song. And they stand up and they begin the last dance together. And it takes them a while to get to their feet. Takes them a while to get off their seat. But somehow, suddenly, they're moving with grace again. And they look at each other as if it was 65 years ago. If you do it right when you remember, what once was real becomes real again. And your heart is changed. Jesus says, and he still says, I want you to remember me. I want you to remember me. And I know about your memory problem. So I've given you something to help you today. We need to make a commitment, I think, to be here. Whenever we share bread and wine, we need to make a commitment to be here, to meet together and to remember. In coming to this table, sometimes I remember the first time I saw Jesus for who he was, the time when I was born again, the time when I became one of his followers and disciples. Sometimes that's what it does for me as I gather around this table. Sometimes I remember deep regrets, things that I've got wrong. Things that I'm ashamed of. And as I gather around this table, I remember I'm forgiven. I remember his grace. I remember it's time to move on. Sometimes, as I gather around this table, I just think about him. I think about how brave he was. And how much he loved his friends to do what he did. And I think about how much he loves me like that. And how much he loves everybody on this planet like that. I remember he did it because of his love for me and for others. And I'll tell you something else, and this is the truth. I have never regretted once in my life coming and sharing bread and wine around the Lord's table. I have never regretted doing it. Here's a last word on these two. On this central practice that Jesus himself established for us as church to do. If you are at a place where, for whatever reason, you've been casual towards sharing bread and wine with other believers, either in here or maybe elsewhere, if you've been casual about that, decide now that you won't be. Decide now that this matters. Decide now that we all have a memory problem and that we need to remember. Because to do so honours God and honours the one who we remember today. It honours Jesus and all he's done for us. So we're going to share bread and wine. In fact, you are going to share bread and wine amongst you. You have everything you need to do it. I'd say if you're sat on a seat outside of one of these tables, just gather with one of these tables right now. Just if you could move and just gather with them, it'd be a lot easier. So gather with a table. You can move a chair or two if you need to. And before we share, I just want to show you a video that reminds you a little bit. Some of us are more visual than audible. And this is a lovely video that just will remind you of who he is and of what he's done for you. Have a look at this, and then we'll share together.